This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Yeah!
Wow, that was awesome.
Man, all right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Ooh, we're playing rotating chairs today.
I know, what are you doing, Rich?
We're both going to stare at Mary. Here's what we're going to do. For the whole show, we're just going to stare at Mary, both of us. Come on, Rich, ready? Let's play a stare. Do you do staring contests?
See who blinks first.
Do you do staring contests? My son always beats me. See,
which
you blink.
One?
I blink just like Isaiah. I don't know what it's like. I don't know where that gene got passed down from, but it wasn't from me. Because when we do staring contests, like, the boy can stare for like 2 minutes. I don't know. It's a skill. Right, exactly. It's scary. Staring contest. Go. No? Oh, you're good at that too. All right.
So I get to look at the good-looking guys. This is awesome.
Well, that's
and
nice.
Run the control
and you
panel.
And you get to pot us in the whole night. All right, so this will be fun. This will be interesting. Very much looking forward to today's show because we're going to be talking about three of my favorite subjects. Do you know what they are?
Favorite subjects?
Yeah, three of my favorite subjects. Do you know what they are?
Me, your family.
Yeah. So more specifically, sex, power, and money.
Well, I'm not there.
Dave, that was not at all like
Dave. I was just kidding. I didn't know what he was going to say.
All right. So we're going to have, I'm probably going to butcher his name. So we're going to have him ask, like, you know how like some people just have names and you're like, you look at it and you go, oh my God, I don't even want to try that. So we're going to have to just have him pronounce his name
because I will
be butchering it because you know how I am with phonetic spelling. It's can't even do it there. All right. So that was interesting, right? So we had Mike Koenigs in the studio and Ed Rush joined him. That was good quality fun. And what a story. I mean, you talk about a story of just survival, story of perseverance.
So you need to tell people in each show to listen to the show that was done last and what's coming up because they can't miss out on some of these awesome shows.
That's really, why are you not, like, you should be doing this show. Like, just, like, do those things, because that's a really good idea.
So he's reinventing Mike
So Kenny? Kelly, she's giving you more work to do.
I know, so, all right, so that's a good idea. So, all right, so if you didn't listen to the last show, that was reinventing Mike Koenigs. And my memory is so bad, because I smoke so much weed, I cannot even tell you who was on the week before. Who was on last week? See, I can't even go back and say, hey, check out the episodes like 99 or 100 or 120 or whatever we're on. I don't even remember. See? Okay, you don't remember either. You don't remember either.
You mean you didn't get NLP'd?
Oh! Ooh. Very good. Okay, that's right. Yeah,
that was a good one.
That was a reinventing NLP with Matt Browning. That was a good one. All right, so speaking of good ones, let me ask you a question. Do you follow, I'm sure you do. We started to talk about this a little bit, but we got a little sidetracked because we tend to get a little sidetracked on Reinvention Radio here. But I wanted to talk.
Squirrel.
Yeah, I know, right? I wanted to talk about what happened in basketball land, and I want to talk about it because it affects me. Like it affects me to my core because something happened last night that is painful, and I know records are made to be broken, but I did not want the record that was broken. Broken last night. You know what I'm talking about, yeah?
I know what you're talking
about. You're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, because you're from Chicago.
I am from Chicago. So the 95-96 Bulls, Jordan, that whole squad there, they went 72-10, best record in NBA history. Until last night.
Dun, dun, dun.
Until last night. Them damn Golden State Warriors. They have everything in San Francisco. They have all the money in San Francisco. They have
highest
real estate prices. They have some cool looking buildings. They have some great food. They've got they have everything in San Francisco, and now they've got the best basketball team like of all time.
Maybe the best basketball teams just follow you wherever you move.
Or that. 73-9. So pretty damn impressive. Okay, but you know Kobe Bryant, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So did you see what he did? Did you hear?
Yes.
Okay, so he retired, and I did not know this. I mean, I thought I kind of knew this, but I didn't realize that he playing 20 seasons for the same team is actually the first player to play his whole career and 20 seasons for the same team. So, I don't know. That's pretty impressive because, you know, ups and downs. He had his injuries and whatnot, but he got 5 NBA championships. He got 1 MVP, which actually kind of surprised me because I honestly thought he had more MVPs than he actually did. So, he only got 1 MVP. But still, you know, I mean, that's, heck, best player in the league. That's amazing. 5 rings. I think that's even more important. But last night, he scored 60 points.
I know.
60 points.
But wait a minute. Somebody said he really didn't score 60 points because everybody just kept giving him the ball.
Well, but you still got to make it.
Those are called assists.
Yeah, so somebody...
But somebody was complaining about that. They're like, right. Oh, really? Come on. Everybody just wanted... The crowd went berserk every time they got the ball.
Yeah, and so somebody set the NBA record last night for most assists, I think is probably what happened. Here, Kelby, here, you take this shot. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but his wife and his family, and they were all there with him at the end. Is that the same woman who ended up with, like, the 36-carat diamond ring because
of... When he cheated on her?
Because, well...
No.
Allegedly, he did something. But I got to tell you, if you go out and you buy a 36-carat diamond ring for your woman and you didn't do it, then what are you going to do if you actually do it? I mean,
you just say, I already gave you
a 36. No, it's more than that. It's half of what he's got.
It's half. Oh, there you go. Yeah, right. So
that was cheap.
Yeah. So in the scheme of things, he was like, ooh, let's see. Oh, that I win. Tiger should have thought about
that.
Yeah, right. All right. So speaking of diamond rings, there was a really interesting article. There's a post that just went viral on Facebook and social media and the whole nine. Very interesting. It's a couple. They've been married now for, I think, around 10 or 12 years or whatever it might be. And when they got married, first of all, like, a really interesting story of love. They met, of all places, at a Perkins restaurant. You ever been to Perkins?
Every time I go home to Minnesota.
Right.
I go to the same Perkins.
Do you really?
What do
you eat there?
You were just going to say.
Wait.
I saw you. And started
you had to stop yourself.
Held it back.
All right. So what the hell is a Perkins? It's like a
Denny's.
It's a Denny's.
It's very much like a Denny's.
Is it good?
It's very good. I love their pancakes.
What's that one that's got the butter burger? And what is a butter burger, by the way?
That's
Culver's. That's the one. Culver's, right? That's another Midwest thingy. They got butter burgers. All right. So anyway, they met. Yeah, at a Perkins. So evidently, I guess they were both there solo, and he got to looking over his shoulder, seeing this one, and went over and started laying down his game and chit-chatting this, that, and the other. So this, you'll appreciate this from a Minnesota standpoint. So they are Minnesotians. Is that what you call yourself?
Minnesotans.
Minnesotans? All right, Minnesotans. All right, so they are Minnesotans, and if you're going to, you know, if you're going to get married quickly and you live in Minnesota, where do you go and how do you do it? What do you do?
I don't know.
You go to the Mall of America. Oh. Of course. That's where you go. You go to the Mall of America.
Okay. Is there a chapel in there or something?
Yes,
a little wedding chapel?
There is. There's
like a little Vegas chapel
right,
thing.
So like a little Vegas chapel thing. All right. So just, you know, we aim to serve here at Reinvention Radio. So for all of our Minnesotans. All right. For all of our Minnesotans, if you didn't know, and you're just like, oh, man, God, we have to get married, honey. What are we going to do?
Let's go shopping.
Just go to the Mall of America. And the good news is you can go, you can buy your dress. You know, he can pick up his tux, and then you can go get married, and then you can return all that shit.
Yeah, right? With the tags.
Just keep the tags on. Just, like, make sure you, like, tuck them in real good and then go and return them. So, all right. So, long story short, they went, got married. They met and married in 12 days. 12 days. So they
before
met
at Christmas?
Something, right? So the 12 days. Oh, that's so cute. All right. So went to Perkins, met each other, went to the mall 12 days later, and got married. Now, at the time, they weren't doing real well. I mean, first of all, if you're choosing Perkins, like if you're going, like, here's what kind of what I'm thinking. Like, if I'm thinking, like, man, I really want to treat myself and I really want to go out to dinner, I'm not thinking Denny's. Like, that doesn't come to mind. So like, you know, if they were thinking, like, man, I really want to go and get a meal somewhere. I want to go out to eat. Let's go to Perkins. Like, and the funniest thing is they both had the same thought. like, all right.
Very
so
compatible.
We're gonna, right? So we are going to splurge tonight. I'm going to take myself out. I'm going to go to Perkins. And
get liver and onions.
Is that what you get there?
I don't know.
I've never had liver and onions. Have you ever had liver and onions?
No, but I did work I was so a waitress nasty. In high school, and Mondays was always liver and onions, and I was always grossed out by
The smell. Ugh. It's a smell thing. All right, so
they give it to you in school?
Wait, no, she was a waitress.
I was a waitress.
So Mondays, Mondays was liver and onions
day. Yes, people would come in purposely for that.
That's like a Friday fish thing. Like every time I go to a restaurant and it's Friday and I'm thinking, you know, I might want some soup. Fucking clam chowder every Friday. Like, who decided that Friday is clam chowder day?
Well, Easter is, you know, Lent is over with, so they should open up the menu.
You would think, but like every damn Friday they have clam chowder. No matter where you go, I'm going to go. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start a campaign. This is political season. We're going to start a campaign to end clam chowder Friday. That'll be the plan. All right. So long story short, the guy was broke, right? They were, you know, they were young.
We're still talking about
these
guys.
Sorry about this. So young, broke. He spent $700. It was his whole savings. Went out and got this ring. Little ring. Little 1/2 carat ring surrounded by a couple of little...
Canardlies.
Whatever.
It's a canardly.
Is that what it is?
Can hardly see it.
Ah! That's a good one. All right. So this small little ring and... You know, he loved her. He wanted to marry her. She said yes. They got married. They've been married now for a long time. They're doing much better. Much, much, much better. Making money. She still has this little ring.
They bought the Perkins.
I was going to say.
They bought the Perkins, right?
They own the Perkins now.
Yeah. You know, so it's interesting, right? So the little ring, and their friends are all like, look, you guys have money now. You should go out, you know, buy yourself a nicer ring. You know, you don't want to be walking around with that thing anymore. Why won't you do it? And what she said was just amazing. And what she said was that there are people out there who look at my ring and think, you know, God, it's a shitty little ring. You know, when I get married, I want to have a really, really big ring. But the people who are most on their side say, we don't care about your ring. We want your kind of marriage.
Oh.
And I thought, like, that was so appropriate because it's like, I don't care about their ring. I want their kind of marriage.
Was this scripted? Look at how beautifully you put the bow
you
on
like
that,
that
little segment.
And right here on the break on Reinvention Radio. All right, more right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Oh, man. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio.
All the time in the world.
It's great. I love it. All right. Mary Gallet Ricotte, White White even hanging out with us. What's up, my man? How are you, buddy? Yay. White White's
here. Loving life in Southern California.
And what is not to like? All right. So we've got a very, very interesting guest on today. And interestingly enough, we met for the first time yesterday. And I was like, dude, you got to talk to Kelly and let's get you on the show. And Kelly's like, he's booked for 1:00. I was like, damn. Evidently, like, he made either such an amazing impression or Kelly's just been slacking about booking guests. So it's one,
right?
So it's one of the two. But
or she's super fast.
Or that, right? Okay, so let's bring Satyan, and I want to make sure that I'm pronouncing it correctly. Okay, so it is it's Satyan Raja, correct?
Yes, you said that really well. Satyan Raja.
Yay.
Satyan Raja.
I know, that's like a sexy name there. Which kind of explains a little bit about why you're into power, sex, and money, which I kind of dig. Because it's like, we met for the first time yesterday, and you know how you like meet people and they just have like this presence? Like, I kind of get the feeling like if Satyan walked into a room, people would be like, wow, who is that guy?
Why are you not here?
Well, there you go.
In studio.
Yeah, Mary totally wanted you to be in studio for this one. She's looking at the pictures and she's going, I wanted this guy here. So you can explain why you're not here, because you're based where?
I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Vancouver, British Columbia. Nice. All right, and so let's just do this for those who don't know you. First of all, Warrior Sage is one of the companies and one of the things that you are doing, but there's much more to you than just Warrior Sage. But kind of give us the 2-minute Satyan Raja so people understand who you are.
Yeah, certainly. I started off in martial arts when I was young, and I grew through that. It helped me grow my backbone, helped me grow, grew my, I guess, my mind, my body, my spirit to prepare myself for what I'm really up to in life later on. And so I lead personal development workshops for leaders, movers and shakers, game changers, and I help them really up-level the blind spots, which really bring down many people on their rise to the top.
Yeah, and you've actually been involved in martial arts beyond, though, those initial days. You had your own kung fu school, right? And you and I talked about you doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu now, actually under my original teacher, you know, the Carlson Gracie lineage. So take us through, though, because you actually had, like, people, you know, they're like, oh, he did kung fu when he was little or whatever. No, man, like, you actually, like, you got to, like, mastery level and had your own dojo and taught your kids and had thousands of students go through. So just kind of give people an understanding of that martial arts background.
Yeah, I mean, you said it in a nutshell. I started when I was 12, and I really dove into this Shaolin Kung Fu tradition, which was not only a physical tradition, but also a spiritual tradition where not only did I have to grow myself in my fighting capacity, but I also had to grow myself morally and character. It was required of the training, which was phenomenal because it really gave me a strong sense of backbone and values for my, you know, for my whole life. And then I really grew into owning my own school, you know, many years ago. In 86, I opened up my first school. And then from there, that school really blew up because there was a magic in there. There was a very profound principle and vibration that was running through the place. And I've been able to capture that, what that is, what made this company grow. And then I started growing other companies, all having to do with human potential and making a big shift in consciousness. So I've had a series of very successful seminar type, you know, organizations. And the one that's really well known around the world is called Warrior Sage. And that's where we've been focusing on, you know, these three main topics: sexuality and relationship, because that's a big kink, that's a big hole and a blind spot. Also, you know, influence and power. You know, how do we get it? How do we do it right? How do we do it so that when we fall off the top, how do we stay at the top in an impeccable and an aware way? And then money wisdom. I mean, we can make lots of money, but if we're not wise with it, we can lose it. Like we've seen so many great, you know, people who've risen to the top and have lost it.
Yeah.
So my passion really has been to find what is the underlying wisdom that ties in these three, sex, power, and money together, and how can we master those rather than have them become our downfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so just, I really want to talk about this because the Shaolin way, I mean, those are like the Shaolin monks, right? So those are like really peaceful dudes for the most part, but then like if you fuck with them, like you get killed. So it's like that balance. And how do you balance? Because I think a lot of people think of like, oh man, you know, just warriors are warriors. You know, like just they're you know, you got these people, they in like even the MMA stuff, they do what they do, and gosh, I mean, they're just warriors. But yeah, yet that's something that you have found that not only can you turn on and turn off, but you're able to teach others how to turn that on and turn that off. Because we all have, I believe, that warrior side to us, and some of us let it out a lot more often than others. No names being dropped here at all. But just, you know, some of us drop it a lot more than others. But how do you teach people to balance that and really turn it on or turn it off?
Certainly, you know. Well, from my experience, you know, working with Shaolin Kung Fu and just the wisdom traditions I've been blessed to touch, is that there needs to be a more comprehensive whole side to us, masculine and feminine, yin and yang. If we're too much into just the warrior, and the warrior is needed, it's our self-preservation aspect, the part in us which knows how to preserve ourselves, wishes to preserve ourselves, first of all, bodily, and then food, shelter, housing, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. As you go up higher, your capacity to just survive and to, you know, prepare for your own well-being is stronger and stronger, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the warrior side. But there's another side. And the other side is the sage. And the sage, for me, represents the part in us that's dancing above the whole experience, the wisdom within us, the transcendent, the one that's looking at our life and seeing, you know, the humor of it. You know, hey, listen, I'm getting too tight about that. I've got way too much importance invested in this. The sage is the part within us which steps back, is within a place of humility. It's in a place of, you know, egolessness. It's in a place of service. And there's a lightness of being with that, because, you know, it's like you're looking back at your whole life from your last day. You know, what really do you want to really put importance on, and what don't you? Mm-hmm. So that sage is that ever-present wisdom within us. Now that, combined with that kick-ass side of the sage, of the warrior, which is, look, I'm going to keep going forward. There's never say die. I'm going to attain my goals, hook or crook. When we combine those, then I feel we have the truest, fullest wisdom. If we're too much sage, we'll become a new age floating person, getting nothing done in life, just doing affirmations. And if we're just warrior, then we're going to be burned out, overworking, workaholic, breaking up our relationships and busting down our bodies.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible to learn? Can you learn how to bring out that sage side? Is it teachable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually feel that the warrior is within our DNA. It's already there. We already know how to survive.
Yeah, it goes back to like the caveman days, I mean, of just pure, straight-up survival. It's got to be in the DNA.
Exactly. And yet there's also, I have found, there's already a place within us which has deep wisdom. It's the connection to our soul, the sound of our soul, the feeling of our soul. That's going to be unique for each person, how they access and become aware of that. But there is profound ways to awaken both sides of us, the warrior and the sage. Because in this day and age, quite frankly, I feel we have to. If we just keep overrunning and pushing like we're doing in this world, we're destroying ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we need to bring that sagely element that says, hey, let's look forward in life. Let's look ahead. Let's look at our relationships. Let's look at our faith. Let's look at my wealth and my well-being. How can I have peace with this? Not just more accumulation. How can I enjoy this 10, 20 years from now? Mm-hmm. What type of way can I live that allows me to rest my soul, feel that I'm in tune with life rather than constantly fighting it, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, let's be real here. The warrior, the way of the warrior, if you will, it's in the DNA. I mean, it goes back to the caveman, that sort of thing. The way of the sage, though, I don't think that's in the DNA. I mean, I think that's something that you have to learn, because, like, historically, we're not spiritual-type people, are we?
Sure, we are.
Of course
we
are.
The kids, look, you got kids, you know that. We kind of take the sage out of them for a little while, and we try to get it back.
Yeah.
And he mentioned soul. Soul and sage, I mean, that's
innate. I don't picture cavemen being spiritual. You know, like, I picture cavemen with, like, a club, and they're just like, I got to go out and I got to kill this wild boar or whatever it is.
There's so much work we need to do with you.
We need a third hour.
So fortunately, Satyan has a program.
There's obviously two sages here and one warrior. You guys working together, it's obvious.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. I think we need we need people who can kick ass and move things forward. And we also have people who can have higher perspective, deeper wisdom. But I think the sage can be cultivated, and it comes through apprenticeship. It comes through mentoring with people who've been down the road further than you have, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. I surround myself with mentors and coaches, you know, constantly. I've been, you know, being coached myself. I believe that there's no way I can help people unless I'm also being coached and served myself. It's sort of hypocritical, you know.
Yeah.
So I believe that it's really powerful to have someone who's got greater wisdom and capacity than you do, and it also kicks your ego down a few notches to have someone who has that wisdom, unless you think you know it all. And,
right.
and you know, my mentor said to me, one of my mentors is, it's better to be humble all the time than to be humiliated all at once.
Wow. All Ouch. Right. Yeah, very cool. All right, so let's do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. Okay, so we've established the fact that you could probably learn how to be spiritual. I actually want to go the other way around and see if it's possible to learn how to be a warrior. That I'm really curious about. All right, more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. We got Satyan Raja on the line with us today. Very, very, very interesting. And before the break, we were talking about bringing out the warrior, bringing out the spiritual side, that sort of thing. Do you think, Satyan, that you can actually teach someone who doesn't have a mean bone in their body? Because there are people like that. I don't know any people like that, certainly not on my side of the world anyway, although maybe I do. Maybe there's one actually sitting in front of me right now. All right, but is it possible to teach someone how to bring out the warrior? And if so, how do you harden up somebody who is just like crazy, like all the way on that spiritual woo-woo side of the equation?
Well, you know, the first thing is to switch it from trying to become tough or hard or trying to kill to becoming a protector. You know, I've worked with all types of people, you know, all the way to people with some type of physical limitation and you name it. And the key is that if they try to fight for themselves or awaken the warrior for themselves, they'll collapse. You know, sometimes an experience is too overwhelming, they get pushed down and bam, you know, they can't raise themselves up. Now, all of a sudden, you say, hey, listen, there's a kid over there that needs your help, or your mother there needs your help, or your friend there needs your help. And all of a sudden, this power arises from within. Mm. That protection energy is really the way to connect the warrior to the heart. The warrior without heart is really a path of destruction, self-destruction, ultimately, anger, rage, blame, and pushing, and, you know, trying to, you know, overcome others.
Yep.
But the warrior of protection is standing behind some virtue, some nobility. They have friends, family, loved ones, their country that they're standing for. So when we dive into that level of the heart connected to our warrior energy through the act of protection, then the most meekest, you know, really can become a lion.
So that's almost like the sage and the warrior both are coming from a place of service then.
Exactly.
And purpose.
Well, one place of service is really protecting yourself when you come right down. So I'm serving myself by being the warrior and protecting myself. Or on the other side of the equation there is if I'm more of a spiritual person and that's not really my thing, then I'm being, you know, more of a protector, as Satyan is saying here, of that person who really could benefit from my standing in to help them. Now, interestingly enough, and I can't even ask you the question now where she's got a mouthful of our... Reinvention Radio is sponsored by Sour Cream and Onion Lay's Potato Chips, just in case you were wondering there. And Satyan, for some reason, I don't get the feeling that you have a bag of Sour Cream and Onion Lay's Potato Chips in front of you right now. Just after seeing you yesterday, you kind of look like the kind of guy that probably hasn't seen a bag of Sour Cream and Onion Lay's Potato Chips for a long, long time. But all right, so Rich, now that you're not choking on Sour Cream and Onion Lay's Potato Chips anymore, you've actually met Satyan, or at least you know of him.
Yeah.
Satyan, I'll get it.
Okay.
It was at a Peak Potential event. You were just starting a new relationship course with Adam, and I can't remember the name of the course, but it was awesome. We talked for a while in the back.
Does that ring a bell? Do you remember the relationship course that you introduced at Peak Potentials?
Yeah, my wife and I, we led a relationship training for our friend at Peak Potentials. And that was phenomenal. We had a great time. So it was a very sexy and juicy and powerful mind-opening event, I remember.
When are you doing that one again?
Well, sex, power, and money. I have an actual event which includes that, but all three of these components. Well, I'm happy to share about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to go back to this warrior element that you talked about.
Sure.
And, you know, how do we evoke the warrior? Well, what I like to do is ask myself, ask the people that I'm leading and coaching. I says, what must you do to die complete without regret? What must you do to die complete without regret? And then whatever that is, like, write it down and frickin' do it.
Yeah.
Because, life is short, and we got to attain that. And the warrior gets awakened when we put a bit of fire underneath us when we ask that.
Mm-hmm.
And to awaken the sage part within us is what must we do to live and love completely without regret?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. I mean, it's an interesting conversation because I don't think it's possible. And again, that's probably just the cynic in me coming out. But I don't think it's possible to actually die without regret. Because there's always going to be something that you're going to feel like, you know, damn, if I just had like another week, I would have done this. Or if I had another year, I would have done that. Because at the point where you're kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't really have anything else I need to do. I'm full. I'm complete. It's like, do you ever really reach that point?
You know, there is a point. And until you find that point, you'll be in constant unrest.
That explains a lot.
You'll be in constant unrest. And then when you do find that point and you are able to live every day, live, love, and die completely without regret, because you've caught up on the stuff that perhaps that you have been regretting, and that may take you a year, it may take you 6 months, it may take you a day to make the phone call and forgive who you need to, or try to build affinity with someone that you've, you know, lost affinity with, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Or to start up something that you haven't, or to take that next big risk, or go to your next level of prominence and edge, and okay, I'm coming out with my service now in a bigger way. Whatever those things are, it's like, they do come to a rest when we're in the groove of it. But if we're behind the times with it, that's where the regret is. But once we're caught up, then it's just free sailing, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's like free sailing. And this is the type of life that I'm experiencing and that I've been helping others attain, where we're not forcing, and yet we're not passive. There's an artful flow that's energizing yet deeply peaceful, you know?
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit of what he's trying to get his brain around is you have sex.
He being Steve?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure we're talking about,
Rich and I got it.
Okay, just want to make sure we're clear.
Rich and I got it.
Two sages and a warrior.
So the sex, power, and money is very warrior,
yes, please,
in the delivery of it. But then the dying to yourself and humility, dying to your ego, is more of the sage kind of aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, sexuality and relationships, right, is the arc, is the cultivation of ecstatic love. You know, there's one stage of relationship where you're doing it for me, you're trying to get love, you're trying to get attention, you're trying to get laid or whatever it is, right? Then
there was
the next evolution where there's more equality. You see each other as whole and 50-50 and you honor each other. It's not like the old school relating, you know, Archie Bunker, right?
Mm.
Then there's a new level of relating, which I consider the next reinvention of relationship with my wife, Suzanne. And we consider that where it's an evolutionary relationship. You are devoted to your lover to evolve each other, not just yourself, but you're devoted to your lover.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you explore sexually, explore mentally, emotionally, and you bring each other to ecstasy and you help each other. You raise each other to live your highest purpose and vision. That's, to me, is the ecstatic next, level of relationship. And that's something that my wife and I, Suzanne, we enjoy because, quite frankly, 29 years later, if you're not devoted to each other's expansion, then you'll both drift backwards and just stay bored and normal and fizzle away your passion, you know?
Yeah. So you've been married for 29 years. That really is amazing. I know you've got a couple of kids as well, but let me ask you this. All right, so I'm going to go round robin here real quick. All right, so Mary, Rich, Satyan. So if you had to pick, and you could only have two out of the three, sex, power, or money, which would be the two you would pick?
define power? Like inner power?
I don't know. That's
or
a great
power
question.
Over
so,
others.
Yeah. So how would you let's do that? How would you define power?
Both.
Well, let's ask Satyan. How would you define power?
You know how we see a pyramid and the power is at the top in most structures of an organization, you know, top down?
Mm-hmm.
To me, true power is the pyramid inverted, where the leader is at the bottom serving higher and higher amount of people with higher responsibility, but their humility is at the bottom, yet their capacity to serve is at its highest. To me, that's the highest level of power.
Okay, so now that you know that, Mary, which two would you choose? If you had to choose two of the three, you could only have two out of the three.
Well, then how do you... We'd have to expand the definition
of
sex.
It's easy. You take the power and the money because you'll get the sex. Like, that's an easy one.
And if I
power and money, you're going to be just fine.
Man, you are smart, dude. That is super smart. All right, very, very cool. So there we go. Okay, so it's unanimous, evidently. You just get the power and you get the money, you get the sex. Okay. And if you can't get it, you just buy it, I guess, or you rent it or whatever you need to do there. All right, so let's do this because I want to learn more about the whole warrior sage thing. I want to learn more about how we can tap into some of that brilliance. So let me ask you this. So we've got about a minute here before break, so we'll come back and we'll revisit this after the break. But what are a couple of things that we could do right now to start tapping into some of that, if you will, higher level of being?
Well, certainly. I mean, the first thing especially is to feel into what do you want with money? What is the experience? The purpose of money is to purchase life experiences. But we backfire when we're looking to gain and earn more money because the focus is on this thing we call money. But really the purpose of it is to purchase life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So a way to transcend the knot, the kink around the money fascination is what do you really want? What would you purchase? What type of experiences? Thing experiences, but also experiences with your family, travel, adventure, creating new things, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
That takes it to a higher level of being. And when we do that, then the architecture of the money becomes more apparent.
Interesting. All right, so let's continue the conversation here on Reinvention Radio with Satyan Raja right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Olscher, along with Mary Willie Richardte, and we got No Neck Nikki in the house. Yeah, man. Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. And Satyan Raja on the phone as well. What's up, Nikki?
One of my best days of the whole year is Thursdays.
Thursday.
Right around 1:45 when I drop in here. And
well,
see
thank you
guys.
For joining us, man. We really appreciate that.
My car just drives here. I mean, I just start my car and it just takes me right here to WS Radio.
Nice. All right. So, Satyan, let's do this before we run out of time because we kind of have a habit here of going on a few tangents, I would say. So if people want to find out more information about you, where do they go, man? Where's the best place to find out about you?
My website is warriorsage.com, and there's invitations there for my live events as well as free resources for people who want to dive deeper into this whole philosophy and practical experiences.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's go back to the focus and really the crux of your teachings. When you are teaching people, and I know you work with folks that are, you know, already fairly successful, why do some people who have on the surface what looks like everything, why do you think they still come to you and feel as though there are parts of their lives that just they're just not fulfilled?
Well, you know, every one of us has blind spots. Every one of us has blind spots. And, you know, just like in martial arts, you're a martial artist, you know that when you get to a higher level of belt, there's still a lot of people who can whoop your ass and also see way more than you do.
Sure.
So, you know, my teacher said, you know, when you get a black belt, that's sort of like the beginning of really learning the deeper elements of the art. And if you look at Olympians, I mean, they can do all types of amazing things in the world, but they also have coaches and guides. Mm-hmm. I think the top people in the world are really hip to the knowing that it's very good to surround themselves with people who can see their blind spots and shore them up and bring them to a whole other level. Mm-hmm. So sex, power, and money, you know, why I chose those three is because traditionally those three energies, which are very powerful, they're powerhouses, they're the driving force of our life. These are the places where we have the biggest blind spots, kinks, unconscious areas, denials, and BS, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And those three are also the most exotic, erotic, enticing, and grab our attention. So either we can be unconscious of them, or we can allow them to ruin us, or we can allow them to enlighten us. Mm-hmm. I believe that if we, you know, take these three energies and put it towards our own self-enlightenment and a higher purpose and a bigger meaning, then we'll unravel them to their fullest capacity, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it makes really, really good sense. Now, let me ask you this, because you've been in a relationship now for almost 30 years. There are folks out there who are looking to develop a relationship with someone and would love to have what you guys have. First of all, tell us, like, for real here, it didn't start. I mean, you and Suzanne sound like you guys are just like, you know, these happy couple, you're elevating each other. And I mean, for the rest of the world here, at least make us feel like it hasn't always been that way. Right.
So no way.
Okay, like, good.
You know, I come from an East Indian background, my wife from a Jamaican background, grew up in Canada, you know, different religious backgrounds and everything. So, you know, butting and fighting against you, but deeply in love with another, mm-hmm. but all these challenges, you know, we've gone through everything any couples can go through, from infidelity to you know, challenges financially to physical stuff. I mean, you name it, mm-hmm. teenage stuff. And what we decided was, years ago, the essence is we put our passion first. So many things will try to knock it down, business stuff, family stuff, things going on in life. But we decided that we were going to put ourselves, each other, at the center of our life. And that's what I'm really advocating, is put your passion for each other first. And we have a simple principle for that, and we call it passion equals polarity. And polarity is the arc of physical and mental and emotional connection between a couple, between yourself and a partner. It doesn't matter what type of partner, man, woman, woman. It makes no difference. It's the arc of polarity between you and your lover, which keeps it either alive, flat, dead, or you're fighting with one another.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, because now we're talking about power, right? So, I mean, get the whole relationship thing. I get that. Do you think there is a reason? Do you think it is logical? Do you think that it just simply makes sense sometimes to try to use your power to control another person?
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Never.
Any exceptions at all to that rule?
I mean, there could be some crazy examples of extreme self-defense or self-preservation situations, right? But I'm talking about everyday relating, living with others, you know, moving on in the world, becoming successful, reinventing yourself. It's power to me means the right use of our influence.
Mm-hmm.
And if we try to influence others from lies, from our ego, from propping ourselves up to be something we're not, or the other side, diminishing ourselves, oh, lowly am I. If you're acting too lowly and too humble than what you truly are capable of, That's a form of hidden ego, and that's cutting your power and influence to do better in the world. Mm-hmm. If you're aggrandizing yourself and becoming a pompous and telling people more than what you actually are and what you have accomplished, that's the type of ego we all know about, the branding, the boasting of ourselves. That also cuts our power and influence to the highest levels. The real power is discovering who we truly are, not subtracting, not adding, but being absolutely grounded and centered in our being when we speak from that, knowing what our value is and being absolutely uncompromising, not tolerating anything less than what's true for us.
So
that
to that
creates a power, a true power that is heard, felt, and respected by everyone, not just the noisy people, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But to that end, there's got to be a moment in time where you just, you've knocked your head up against the wall enough and you realize you just got to cut the rope. I mean, that happens, right?
Well, we're all going to lose our balance and our equilibrium soon, once in a while, right? It's about coming back to it. Mm-hmm. But forcing other people, pushing other people to do things, that always backfires. It may have some temporary effect. You may get some higher productivity happening in your team if you push and drive and yell and scream. But sooner or later, they're going to hate you. Mm-hmm. They're going to self-destruct things. Things are going to happen in your company or in your life that you don't even realize where it came from.
Yeah.
All excessive pressure creates balancing forces.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
This is the hidden secret in the realm of power that even the most powerful CEOs in the world, not only few of them know about. Mm-hmm. Excessive pushing creates balancing forces somewhere in our life.
Mm. You know, and it's been said that if you use that position of power to make people do whatever it is that you want them to do, you may have their hands, but you certainly don't have their head, and you certainly don't have their heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, a great example of this is a CEO named Ricardo Semler. You guys can watch him on YouTube, Ricardo Semler, S-E-M-L-E-R. And this is an example of a very powerful leader of a company who creates an environment where everyone wishes to, of their own accord, of their own volition, of their own passion, to create a successful company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's self-led. It's a very, very powerful concept. And I think we're at an age now where we can truly value everyone in our circles, in our organizations, and not push or not step on or exert power in an unhealthy way. It's time that we find a new path that's enlightening rather than crushing.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a very, very, very interesting conversation and certainly enlightening for me. And I have a feeling of hope now because I can actually find a way to maybe bring out that inner sage and not just always revert to the warrior. Very interesting.
So
here
now we know what your deal is.
Now, exactly. All right. So we're
Rich,
dealing,
we can work with him.
Right. Thank you for that. All right. Awesome show with Satyen Raja. WarriorSage.com is where you go. Mary Goulet, Rich Ote, Kelly Poker, White Wade. Thank you guys. I'm Steve Ulsher. We will talk to you on the next episode of Reinvention Radio.
Just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.